This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
During the Aspen Ideas Festival, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack spoke in a U.S. food policy discussion about GMO labeling, according to the Hagstrom Report. Vilsack says the challenge of the labeling debate is that food labels have either provided nutritional information or warned about possible allergies, but GMO labeling does not fit into either of those two categories. Still, he says the consumer has a right to know. Vilsack believes putting information about genetically modified ingredients through barcodes on food labels, like Nestle does, could resolve the issue of labeling foods with GMOs. Nestle has created an extended barcode that Vilsack believes consumers could read with smartphones or on machines in grocery stores to determine if a product contains GMOs without sending any misleading messages. A Grocery Manufacturers Association spokesman says the use of barcodes to provide this information is worth exploring, but a federal GMO labeling standard would soon be necessary to prevent a 50-state patchwork of labeling laws that could be costly and confusing for consumers. Hog supplies have tightened over the past year. According to the USDA's Hogs and Pigs report, the inventory on June 1st was 62.1 million head. That's down 5% from 1 year ago and down 1% from last quarter. The market hog supply declined 5%, but the breeding herd inventory was nearly unchanged. Purdue University livestock economist Dr. Chris Hurt is somewhat surprised with a few of these numbers.
As we look at the profitability that has been there for, going on 7-8 months now, I thought we probably would begin to really see some of the expansion showing up in the number of breeding herd animals. And what this report says is that, no, that is not the case. We do not have an expansion of the breeding herd yet. And I think the other surprise that really, or along the line of the breeding herd, is the March-May farrowings. Where we'd expected the intentions were to be up a couple percent, and so we see those actual farrowing numbers actually were down just fractionally. So I think all that indicates no expansion.
Kevin Boast, who leads procurement strategies in DePlain, Illinois, emphasizes his respect for USDA's comprehensive analysis of these numbers. However, Boast questions the decline in farrowing from winter to spring. March-May farrowings are down at nearly 2.5% from the December to February.
Going back to 1975, I can only find one other year in which that those farrowings from December, Feb to March-May declined at all, and never this much. Why would that happen when we have extremely good profitability? I don't think we can blame it on PED because that would seem to affect the pigs per litter more, right? And the pigs per litter in the spring they made sense to me. You know, they were up quite a bit from the winter, down quite a bit from a year ago. That all made sense. But why would the number of sows farrowing have declined so much from winter to spring? I don't understand that. And frankly, I don't believe it.
Hurt has projected third-quarter hog profits of $90 plus per hundredweight. If realized, these would be all-time record returns.
And that would give profitability this summer. We've been talking about profits. Hog producers would have never, ever seen anything this profitable, $90 per head of profits this summer. Final quarter of the year, $74 hog prices with $49 a head of profit. Except that's very exceptional. Then dropping off in the first quarter about $67, $68 in the second quarter, and that profitability first half next year would be around $28 per head on average. So very, very strong. It would be very difficult to say producers wouldn't take this profitability and want to do something with that to reduce income tax liability this year, like get into the expansion business.
Hog weights are approaching a 5% increase over those of 1 year ago. That increase in weights will influence total pork supplies. Hurt says those figures bring some perspective to this report.
As was pointed out, certainly going to be shortages of hogs, but not as big of shortage of pork supply And again, I'm just running weights on out into the early summer anyway at 4%. Then I think we'll do 3 to 3.5% up until November, and then maybe come down some. And so there's just a lot of compensation on for pork supply, offsetting these smaller numbers on the hogs. So that provides an interesting perspective here, where pork supply is not down as much as what the hog numbers are. And so it is pork supply that tends to impact prices, not just the number of hogs.
Ag economists at the University of Illinois have done some farm income projections using above average yields and below average prices, both of which are in play today. Farmers in the state are projected to earn a, quote, salary of about $45,000 for the season. That's a real income drop, says Extension Ag economist Gary Schnittke.
Corn prices at $4.20 and soybean prices at $10.75. Based on those prices and yields, we came up with average grain farm income in Illinois to be $45,000 per farm. And just to give you a feel for that, that compares to $135,000 for 2013. So we're projecting 2014 to be down considerably from 2013 levels.
$45,000 is the lowest farm income for the state since commodity prices increased in 2006.
Previous low since 2006 was $93,000 in 2009, which occurred because of low commodity prices that year and high fertilizer cost. But now if the $45,000 would be low, and it would be comparable, roughly comparable to the incomes from 1996 through 2005, when we averaged $51,000.
The income on a farm can swing wildly from one year to the next. This year's projection is just 20% of the income from one of the previous years. And of course, it isn't a guarantee. It could be much larger, or even an actual loss.
Our $45,000 income is based on a 420 corn price. If we took that up to 465, which is would be a better income situation, we would have $108,000 of income. 465 would get us over 100,000. If we took that price from 420 down to 385, we would be looking at roughly negative $7,000 in income.
The average farm for these projections is based off the average of those enrolled in the Illinois FBFM record-keeping program, which is about 1,400 acres with a 60-40 crop rotation of corn and soybeans. Some farmers in our listening area have been able to get out and start harvesting their wheat crop. I spoke with Mark Miller of Minnell Milling Company about how the wheat harvest is going so far.
Well, Angela, we've gotten about 70 to 80 trucks so far. We're seeing a lot of variability in the quality up to this point, both in test weights and the head scab disease. Also, the falling number has been fairly variable as well. Haven't heard anything from anybody on yields at this point, but so it's going to be a challenging year.
All right, and I'm sure a lot of that variability has to do with a lot of the moisture we were getting. Some farmers probably had fields that were pretty badly infected with scab, and others it probably just brought the test weight down.
Oh, I would agree with that, yeah. I think that we had, you know, a significant amount of wet weather there when the crop was flowering, and that's the important time frame for head scab. I think the fields that some of the farmers got out into and sprayed with fungicide are probably in better shape than those that didn't at this point.
And when do you project that things are going to start wrapping up here? You said you've gotten about, 70 truckloads?
I think this week is actually probably going to be the busiest week. On the fields that I drive by every day, there are only a couple of them actually have been cut. Most of the fields that I drive by every day are still out in the field, so I think that some of the wheat obviously was a later variety, and they probably weren't quite ready. And then of course the clouds and little showers we've had running through here the last few days have kind of slowed everything down. So I think farmers are waiting for it to dry down, and hopefully we'll get some nice sunshine here the next few days, and they can get out there and get this crop off.
That seems to be the name of the game for the past couple weeks here, both waiting for hay and waiting for wheat harvest, for things to dry off here.
Yeah, we could certainly use a good week of nice sunshine and dry weather.
Do you have any projections on how you think the wheat crop in the area is going to end up, or is everything too scattered right now for you to give a good estimate?
Yeah, I think it is too scattered. You know, with some of the later varieties, I'm hopeful that they turn out a little bit better. Although there have been some of the early varieties or the early wheat that's been cut. I mean, we've seen some good numbers out of some of that. Also seen some poor numbers. So I'm not exactly sure what the difference is field to field. But right now variability is the word, and we're seeing things all over the board. So I hope that steadies out and gets better.
All right, so the ball's in the air right now, and we'll see where it goes in the next week or so.
Yeah, that's for sure, and I wish everybody out there a safe harvest and a happy 4th of July. We'll probably be here. If there's wheat being cut on the 4th, we'll probably be here. So wish that to everybody.
Again, that was Mark Miller with the Minnell Milling Company. The Macoupin County Fair wrapped up this weekend. The 4-H showing came to a close on Friday with the 4-H poultry and goat shows. In the poultry shows, Isabel Harned of Staunton received Reserve Grand Champion Chicken and Grand Champion Market Egg. Derek Huff of Chesterfield received Grand Champion Chicken and Reserve Grand Champion Market Egg. Braylee Gilmore of Carlinville received Grand Champion Chicken Pen. Megan Wolf of Shipman had Reserve Grand Champion Chicken Pen and Grand Champion Poultry. Evelyn Hayen of Shipman had Reserve Grand Champion Poultry. For the Goat Show, Caleb Huff of Chesterfield had Reserve and Grand Champion Dairy Dough. Rachel Wolf of Shipman had Grand Champion Meat Dough and Grand Champion Meat Weather. Megan Wolf of Shipman had Reserve Grand Champion Meat Dough and was your Senior Showmanship winner, while Rachel Wolf was your Junior Showmanship winner. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.